Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Tragic Rugby League Report. I'm joined by none other than Mr. Zach Haig. Haven't seen you for a while, Zach. How's it going? Like, he came in, for anyone that doesn't know, into the Zoom chat just with an absolute spring in his step. So,
oh, mate. It has been an outstanding 5 weeks for me personally. We're flying at the moment. Everything's coming up South Sydney. It's all going well. And I told you off camera, I had a little surprise prepared because, as you know, it's the second week in a row that we've done the tragic sweep. I know that James isn't here, but the Bunnies, Titans and Tigers all getting the dub. And the Tigers going back-to-back for the first time in 12 months. And now as a resident Scot, I actually picked up myself a can of Iron Brew. And I've never had this before, but I'm going to crack it open live on air in honor of the Tragics going the back-to-back sweep and the Tigers, for your sake, going back-to-back. The Bunny's absolutely flying, so cheers, mate. This is in the name of Scotland.
Cheers.
That's delicious. That's great stuff.
There we go. A live tasting. I love Iron Brew, just quietly. Like,
it tastes like creaming soda more than like orange.
Oh, well, it's insanely bad for you. It's pretty much just sugar.
Sure it is. This tastes delicious, though.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Live reaction.
There's nothing better than an Iron Brew and like a pizza supper back home in Scotland. And they sell like the big glasses of it in Scotland. But you can only get the small cans for like $3.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's good. Stuff.
Well, there you go.
Mate, that was worth it. 2 weeks in a row, all three of our teams have won. Jeez. Who would have thought?
Has that ever happened before?
Since
we've done the pod?
Well, no, because like last year when the Tigers won it 2 weeks in a row, we actually beat the Bunnies. So somehow.
That's right. Well, mate, could it be an omen? We are playing each other this week.
Yeah, I was about to say, are you ready to get your ass handed to you?
he's very cold. This is such a difference from 2 weeks ago. Those back-to-back wins have changed your whole perspective on this season.
No. I'm very grounded still. But we'll get to that. During the tips. You know, I don't want to speak my shit too soon because.
I'll just say, I had severe Magic Round FOMO for people that were there. All the content and the Insta stories. God, it looked fun. It looked like so much fun. I wish I was there.
Apparently this year, it was like the biggest participation for a Magic Round that there's been. So I went in 2019 when it was like quite new still, and it was brilliant then. So I can only imagine like more people getting involved, how good it would be.
Yeah, it's just like a who's who. It seems like the vibe was really good. Like from all reports, it was like there was no issues. Like the crowd was in a good mood. No dramas. There was a lot of like pretty much everyone in like the rugby league content game was there and just like players everywhere, jerseys all over the streets. The Caxton was going off and the footy, like I thought the games this week were like really, really good. I thought it was a great round of footy as well. It just looked perfect.
Yeah, Dad. Maybe next year we'll have a booth or something.
We're doing a live meet and greet at the Caxton next year.
Yeah, we'll do an unofficial meet and greet where we'll just get some hoodies and we'll just stand in the corner of the Caxton just signing autographs. And people.
That's right. It'll probably just turn into me, you, and Rutkin having a beer because that's all it'll show up.
I don't know. Like I reckon sometimes when you put like a booth or some sort of sign, people just assume you're famous and they might come up to you.
Maybe that's it. Yep. Dress for the job you want, not the job you have. Exactly. If we just act the part, yeah, it seems famous.
Fake it until you make it. It's literally how I got a girlfriend. So,
look at you now.
Look at me now. But just before we move on to like the topics of the week, I just really wanted to get your opinion on Jack Whiten because the last time you were on the pod, we literally joked. Like we're both having like a little bit of crack out. Like if you wanted to go to the Bunnies, you'd have to take like significant overs. But lo and behold, a little bit of forensic accounting, and he's off to the Bunnies to play center for $850k a year.
Yeah, look, got a few things here. First of all, it's $850 a year over the course of the deal, which I don't think is unreasonably low for Whiten. I think that's fair. The Raiders offer at 1.1, I thought was overs. I think there's countless players that have done that very, very recently across a number of clubs. When you look at Munster or Moses or Brandon Smith or any of these guys that have taken unders to go to a different club or stay at their club that they're at. And, you know, like I said to you off air, we've lost over the last few years, Gagai, Reynolds, Sua, who are all rep caliber players. Sua Leite rejected a 600 plus a year deal a couple of years ago. We haven't really signed anyone. We literally signed no one last year, and just a couple of depth players the year before, guys like Cheekham and stuff. So I can understand how it seems from an outside perspective, but I think we've done very well in terms of holding our nerve in the market and not signing or overpaying over the last couple of years and letting people go. You know, going from Reynolds to Ilias, for example, there's a big cost saving there. I mean, right now, Keon's out. Our back row is a Cheekham and Host. So I think we've got guys that are providing a lot of value, which allows you to go into the market for someone like Jack White.
Well, as I said off air, you either live long enough to see you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the Sydney Roosters. And
oh, that is, that is the biggest insult that anyone could ever say to me. How dare you, sir? How dare you? I told you a few weeks ago, it's all about the power of friendship, mate. This is a win for friendship and harmony in Australian sport. If anything, we should be thanking Jack for reminding us of the importance of friendship rather than the importance of money.
Yeah, what does money even mean these days anyway? Like, you know, friendship's much more important. Like,
not as much as friendship, I'll tell you that much.
Well, because Luttrell can just give him some cattle from his farm and he can, you know, live off that for, you know, that's the power of friendship.
Yeah, man. Everyone loves a bit of, you know, look, money. You can't take it with you. Can't take it with you. And he's getting 850 grand a year anyway. So I think that's still pretty good.
Yeah. No, I don't think we should feel too bad for Jack Whiten.
No, I think he's going well. I think he's going very, very well.
Yeah, but speaking of teams that have taken advantage of the salary cap, I noticed you had a really big grin on your face when I asked you what you wanted to talk about first on the schedule, and you nominated. It's been so obviously the Sydney Roosters, as the South Sydney Rabbitohs are absolutely flying this season. Sydney Roosters are doing anything but at the moment. Obviously, they're still 2 wins from 3, but there are some alerts kind of appearing. Sam Walker's been dropped. I think they have the second worst attack in the league behind the West Tigers. Joseph Manu, look here, not really getting it done. Had a really bad loss against the Cowboys where they just didn't really look like scoring. And now it's dropped yesterday that Joseph Suoliti is on a little bit of shaky ground at the Roosters, and the reports that the Roosters are actually considering letting him go early to rugby union. Just first off, what have you heard from this situation, and what's your reaction?
Well, first of all, like on the Roosters, as much as I would love to take joy in their downfall, I would say as well, I'm pretty sure they're still sitting in the eight, and they're like, we're coming second, and the ladder's that congested. I think they're only 2 points behind us, although they have, I believe they've had a bye, and we haven't. But look, I think that they're certainly not, it's not as bad as what it seems. Like they've won two of their last three. I know that they weren't necessarily convincing in those games, but yeah, the Cowboys' effort was pretty poor. The Swahili thing, I'm only basing this off of, I think it was on 360 they were speculating about it. Danny Weidler on 100% footy was sort of speculating a little bit about it as well. So it could be a case of where there's smoke, there's fire, but I think there's no denying that Suoliti's form over the last few weeks. And I think on the whole, since he moved to center generally, hasn't been fantastic. Last few weeks in particular, against the Cowboys, although he wasn't on his own, pretty poor. So naturally, you know, on a big contract and, you know, he's on his way out, I suppose that's where the link, you know, you can put two and two together and speculate on that. So I don't know anything, but look, I wouldn't be surprised looking at the facts of the situation if it did happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's on a lot of money, isn't he? And if he's already kind of on the way out, then it would almost make sense. Obviously, he's a great player, so you'd want to make it work. And he's still there for next year. Well, he's still contracted anyway. But do you think that just from his time at the Bunnies, you reckon there is a... Because I'm not sure that it's been speculated, but they talked about it in Arrow 360 that, You know, the Roosters aren't at all happy with how negotiations went down. There was some speculation that he'd already signed with Rugby before he extended with the Roosters, which the Roosters didn't really know about. Do you reckon there's a chance that he's slightly kind of disinterested?
I don't know about disinterested. I mean, if you look at his form, like from an outside point of view, you could kind of draw that conclusion, because obviously he's not playing great footy. I think the one spanner in the works is I feel like the expectation, I think, was, well, you know, well, the Roosters, when they signed him from us, they had that whole thing of, oh, we'll give you your get-out clause every year because we back ourselves to, you know, make you want to stay and keep you at the club long-term. That didn't work out. He's now going to Union. And I think Brandon Smith said it. I'm not sure if it was tongue-in-cheek. And, like, just generally, I think Robinson may have alluded to the fact. Don't quote me, I'm not sure. But I think generally the feeling was, oh, well, he'll just go to the Union, play the World Cup, and he'll probably just end up back at the Roosters when he's, like, 25, and it'll be play on. So if things are starting to sour, and let's say that they do move him on early now and things aren't all rosy, does that then jeopardize their chances of, oh, open door, come on back when the World Cup's over and he does the whole sort of Sonny Bill situation with the Roosters? That's what I find most interesting about all this. And I wonder if they still want to be doing that. And if that's the case, then you probably wouldn't be moving him on, because that couldn't help with that situation.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. You don't want to burn your bridges. I feel like if he kills it in Union, then we might not see him again, because, like, look how much money Sammy Radradja's making in, like, the English Premiership. Like, it's just ridiculous money for an outside back. So, like, he has so many options if he goes well at Union in terms of that kind of money, especially for someone who's not a spine player currently. Like, it would be worth his while maybe playing in France, playing in England, places like that. But just back on the Roosters, do you think there's a bit of a skip? Situation going on here? Because first it was Sam Walker, like, he was the problem. He gets dropped, their attack's still not great, and now, like, they have the second worst attack in the league, and then a story leaks about how they're not happy with Suoliti, a center. Like, but what about, you know, like, Tedesco is not playing great, Brandon Smith probably not clicked as well as everyone thought. Do you reckon this is kind of a bit of a distraction from, like, the other kind of more senior players in the team?
Yeah, potentially. I do find it very funny how a couple of years ago, they you know, with Walker and Suoliti, they had all of a sudden just poached, you know, from the Bunnies, Suoliti and the Broncos system with Walker, they'd poached, like, probably the two hottest schoolboy talents in the game. And it's sort of, you know, seemingly now soured very quickly. You've got Suoliti leaving and Walker in reserve grade. It's very interesting the way it's all played out. Scapegoat, look, I'm not sure. I mean, I can understand why they dropped Walker. You know, getting Manu involved more, having a senior head like Kiri being that one sort of senior voice to control the team. Because for me at the moment, my read on the Roosters is it seems like almost, what's the phrase, too many chiefs, not enough Indians kind of thing. I think that they're stacked full of so much elite talent, and maybe within the fit of the team, does Walker work there? I can understand the thinking. Can't say that it's really worked all that much better. I know the results are 2 from 3 since, but with Manu at 6, I don't know if they look any better, to be honest. And I don't know if that's the long-term solution. The Walker thing is so interesting in terms of, like, well, how long is he going to be in reserve grade? And if it carries on for much longer, will he be staying around? Or will the Roosters then, you know, he's also on a big contract like Suoliti. So do they look to move him on if he's sitting in reserve grade on a big contract? It's very interesting. And, you know, you talk about other senior players. I think Brandon Smith, look, he's a great runner out of dummy half, and he's a bit of a pit bull the way he plays. But I think maybe his service, Brayton Astor's been pretty vocal about it on 360 too. Like, his service out of dummy half isn't great. And there's a few instances you can pinpoint in games where it's sort of stifled their attack around the ruck. I just think that they're playing too lateral. I mean, you look at how explosive their team is, from their back five to their forward pack to their hooker, touched on Smith. I think if they stripped it back and just sort of centralized their attack a bit, it could change for them. But It's just really interesting, isn't it? Like, as the talk of the Roosters coming into this year, and to see how it's all unfolded with, you know, from premiership favourites arguably going into the year to Walker's in reserve grade, Sule, he's leaving, there's talk of an early release, they've got the second worst attack in the comp. Like, you couldn't have predicted it. It's crazy how it's happened.
I know, it's brilliant, isn't it? But obviously...
It is for me.
I think they're turning it around. I think you're right. There's just no penetration in their attack at the moment. Like, for whatever reason, it's just so lackluster. And I don't know what they'll do. I don't think they'll win the comp. It's just, I think that's why it's a bit of a shock, because every year the Roosters have been given the benefit of the doubt when they've played. Like, they've had slow starts, like last year, the year before. But they're not really that team of champions anymore like they were when they won the comp back in 2018, 2019. And I think that, like, when they play, like, even though they only are 2 from 3, I think the biggest worry is that when they're playing these more elite teams, like the actual gap between the Roosters and those, like, kind of like top four teams is very, very apparent. What do you reckon about that?
Yeah, I agree. Like, this whole time, I just kind of assume, like, the Roosters have always been slow starters to a season, and last year was no different. 2018, I remember when they brought Kronk and Tedesco in. Which is still just ludicrous. Imagine signing Kronk and Tedesco in one off season. My God. But anyway, they started very slowly, and I just thought, oh, okay, well, you know, they lost to the Dolphins in round one, and, you know, they'll click. I wouldn't give it too long, but it's round 10 now. Like, we've just finished the 10th round of the competition, and if anything, I feel like they're actually getting worse. So it's, yeah, I also think it'll come good for them. I just think that their side on paper is too good not to, but it's a very interesting one. Also on the Sualiti thing, can I just point out, do you remember what I said when he left us to sign with the Roosters?
You said something along the lines of he'll be out of the game within 2 or 3 years playing rugby. Is that...
I did, and I said it wasn't worth the circus of the release clauses and the constant speculation. And I think in hindsight, we made the right call. That is all I will say. I'm very happy with the decision we've made, particularly when we've got my boy Campbell Graham just ripping and tearing in the centres and firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. But the one thing I will say about Joseph Suoliti is that I'm so happy that we extended Jareem Bulla to the end of 2025 before all this broke, because you could just tell that the Roosters would be interested in someone like him if they were to release Joseph Suoliti.
I was just about to say, I could see them going after Bulla. I didn't know he re-signed until the end of 25.
Yeah, we extended him before he debuted, which is like pretty eyes up footy from us.
Yeah. As eyes up as my Suoliti prediction 3 years ago, just saying.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting, though. But look, all in all, I do think, as much as I would love them to not, being a South fan, obviously, I think they will come good, the Roosters. We'll get to the tips at the end of the show, obviously, but I'm considering tipping a bit of an upset. I could see them knocking Penrith off this week, to be honest, but interesting watch. I think they're probably the team... Would you say they're the team under the most pressure at the moment?
Well, I think they're probably the team with the most pressure on them with, like, genuine expectations to do well in the finals. Like, I think the Dragons right now are absolutely under the pump, but I don't think anyone really expects them to do anything except sack their coach mid-season. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you're right in that regard.
No, interesting times ahead.
But shall we move on to the Dragons, the mighty Red V?
Mighty Red V, yeah. We might as well. It's just, well, mate, why don't you kick us off? I'd be interested to get your take on them. Obviously, being a Tigers fan, you played them this week. And, you know, being your team, you would have watched the game closer than others. What's your read on the Dragons right now? Like, where's it all going wrong? What did you make of them on the weekend?
Well, I think that, like, the biggest thing that's going wrong with them is that they walked into the season with a coach as a dead man walking. Like, no one really thought that Griffin would survive after this year. And now they're just in limbo at the moment, aren't they? Because, like, everyone's just kind of expecting them to get sacked. So how do you, like, make any recruitment or retention decisions when you're basically just, you know, you're in limbo, aren't you? I know I'm kind of repeating myself. So I think it kind of reminds me of the Tigers last year with Mads. Like, we kind of knew that he would need like a really, really strong start to the season to keep his job. Yeah. Didn't happen. And it derailed our season as soon as he left. I think the Dragons, it could be the same, to be honest. I think we all tipped them to finish like around about the bottom of the ladder. And that tip looks quite good at the moment. But in terms of the actual game on Sunday, I think that, yes, if Sloan and Sully kind of execute that play a little bit better at the very end, they win the game. I think that's very fair to say. But I think that if you analyse everything else that happened before that, so Junior Tupou knocks on the ball, gives them a try. Brandon Wakeham fails to find touch. You know, Sullivan then like scores the other end off a pretty soft try. So those are like kind of like two tries you could easily kind of rob out for them if the Tigers were a little bit more, you know, clinical in their execution. Like, not saying they wouldn't have scored some other way, that's for sure. But I think that they were lucky to get within that level, that margin to begin with in terms of.
What about that last play? Like, how did they not score? If they went through the hands, it was like 4-on-1 on that edge.
I know.
That was bizarre.
Well, it was a miracle. That's just for me, anyway.
I wish I saw your live reaction to that as Ben Hunt towed it through the gap.
That could only happen to us. I am convinced that could only happen to Tigers fans. And I just didn't even have a reaction because I was just in shock. Like, what are you doing? And I don't even think the Dragons fan, I think they were in shock as well, because that's why there was no support for Ben Hunt except Sloan. But yeah, so I think that the Tigers should have won it by more. I think if a better team was playing the Dragons on the day, I think they probably would have put a pretty comfortable margin on them. Their attack, like, they had like a good 20-minute period in the second half where the forwards were generally pumping. But I think the only other time they looked dangerous is when we kind of gifted them field possession. I think their attack is just all over the place, to be honest. And I know that Sullivan, you know, he played well, like he hasn't two good tries, but I'm just not convinced that, you know, that's kind of what they need at the moment, because it's the two sexy plays, isn't it? But in terms of being like an actual genuine half, I don't think him and Amon really connected well together when they're on the field, because Amon was very quiet that game, I thought.
Personally, I'd be keeping Hunt at 7. I love Hunt at 9, but I think for the sake of this team, he needs to be their 7. And I like Sullivan with him at 6. And for me, I think Amon might be the guy that misses out. That's the way I'd be doing it. I wouldn't be chopping and changing the spine mid-game, but I suppose that then brings us to the main talking point with the Dragons, and that is the future of the coach, Anthony Griffin, off the back of this loss. Interesting times ahead there.
So, mate, you've identified the elephant in the room, Mr. Anthony Griffin. I think the cameras must have panned to him like 20 times during the game. I felt so bad for him because he just looked like he just was had absolutely no ideas. I remember it was the same for Madge last year. It just looked miserable, and it just seemed a bit cruel from Fox just to keep panning to him. But first question, do you think there's any sense of the Raiders sacking him mid-season? And second, like, who would
Dragons,
you
mean?
Oh, sorry, Raiders. Sorry. Do you think there's any sense of the Dragons sacking him mid-season? And what kind of coach would you be looking to replace him with when he does get sacked?
Yeah, I think, is it fair to say that it's looking extremely likely that he's not going to be there? He's off contract. He's not going to be there 2024. Is that kind of a given now? Like, I don't know if they've told him that, but geez, it seems that way.
Well, if they haven't told him that, they've definitely implied it, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. I don't think it does make sense if they were going to do it mid-season, because the candidates that they're looking at and guys that I think would be really good fits, Ben Hornby for one, who's now assistant coach of the Bunnies. I think he's our attacking coach, and obviously our attack's brilliant, and he's played a big part in that. Like, I know a lot of guys. Damien Cook, I think, is one that springs to mind, who has a lot of really positive things to say about him as a coach. Apparently, he's a leading candidate. He knows the club well. In a similar vein, Jason Riles, he served a long apprenticeship, a former Dragon. currently assistant coach at the Roosters. I kind of thought that maybe he'd be linked to the Melbourne job if Bellamy was going to retire at the end of the year, which was rumoured as well. If not, he'd be a really good option for the Dragons. But the thing is that all these guys are assistant coaches at other clubs, and I know that they wouldn't – well, I don't know, but you would assume that they wouldn't be allowed to go there mid-season anyway because they've got a commitment with their current club as an assistant, so it would be at the end of the year for next season. So if they were going to get rid of Griffin, it would just be to put in a caretaker coach in the meantime, which is usually just like an assistant coach already at the club. So, you know, I really don't see the point in doing that. I'd probably wait until the end of the season, to be honest, and just keep Griffin in there for now, see out his contract.
You know, you look at the Dragons, the Tigers last year when they got rid of Madge mid-year and put Kamali in as a caretaker, who clearly was sort of thrown to the wolves, and it just got worse before it got better, didn't it?
So I don't think I'd do it mid-season. But I think in terms of next year, maybe a bit of Bunny's bias in me because I'm pretty close to what he's been doing with us. So I probably know him a bit better than in terms of his body of work than others and his role within his current club. But I think Benny Hornby would be a really good option. Plus, you know, he's a younger coach. He's a former player, only retired about 10 years ago. He's won a premiership at the Dragons. And then you look at Griffin, like the rumors of when he dropped Lomax and not giving him that explanation that day, apparently being as that's being reported, and you know, maybe the communication issues were sort of popping up there with the younger guys, especially. Maybe someone like a Hornby, who's a lot younger and a little bit more relatable to modern players, might be a real breath of fresh air for them. So that could be an option. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, I think that, like, you see a lot of Dragon stuff on socials, and I think, like, the main argument to sack him now is that they just want him gone. Like, they're just sick of him because, you know, they haven't made any changes to their team for this week that lost to the Tigers last week. Zach Lomax got shifted to the other side for center, and like, he's been playing really poorly. You know, Ben Hunt was shifted to hooker. Like, Sullivan and Amon haven't really, like, had that much time together. Two players that were kind of touted as the next big things. Sloan as well was kind of hindered in his development. I suppose, like, one thing you could say is, like, if you keep him, do you run the risk of the playing group kind of, you know, getting agitated? Because Jaden Sua, Jack Bird, there's rumours that they want out for next season as well. Like, I'm not sure, like, if they're, like, Anthony Griffin fans. If I was to guess, I'd probably say no. But, like, is there any chance that if they just make the decision now, like, it might be, like, short-term loss for, like, long-term gain, where they can, if they move quickly, they can have a coach in mind for next year, kind of sell the players, and it kind of calms everything down a little bit? Or do you reckon it will just do it as the Tigers did last year and kind of just, like, snowball?
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose it depends on where the players are at with him, I guess. Like, I just don't see the value. Like, how would it get any better this year if they were to, you know, bring in a caretaker who's only going to be there for a couple of months before they, you know, find the right guy? To be honest, I just think it would cause maybe more problems than it solves. You know, not to mention the other factor in this is Ben Hunt's close relationship with Anthony Griffin. It might be a little bit easier to sort of bridge that gap and smooth any potential issues over there with a guy who they can't afford to lose or to keep him unhappy at the club because he's just so important to them. You know, if it was to happen abruptly mid-year, it could cause some problems maybe for Hunt potentially, knowing how close he is. But, you know, if they were to do it a little bit tidier, wait until his contract was up, let him see out the end of the year, it might be a little bit easier to sort of smooth that over and the transition might be a little bit better.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you. I think that, like, as a fan, you kind of just want the coach gone because, like, you kind of like all problems to him. But I think
you want to change. You want to change because it's different. You know what I mean? Like, it's not
him. Yeah. But different isn't always better. And obviously, he's not going to be the coach next year. That's a given. But I agree with you. In terms of this season, I think it's, you know, I think it's probably safer to go for the evil that you know rather than mm-hmm. people you don't know. But, you know, Brett Kamali, he could be available for the interim coach, maybe potentially. I think he's coaching NRLW, but you never know. He could do both.
Poor Noddy. That was so tough.
That was so, so tough. so tough. But yeah, I don't know. I don't feel bad for them because we like they could save us from the spoon. So the part of me that's sick and wants to see the world burn is just like, yes, like keep going. This is good stuff. But yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just before we move on, we're gonna do a little bit of origin talk, but because it's kind of close to the midway point of the season, I thought it'd be a good idea to kind of like visit our predictions that we made at the start of the year in terms of like who we thought was going to win the comp and who we thought was going to win the wooden spoon, and just see how we're feeling about those predictions at the moment. So, who did you tip to win the comp? Was it the bunnies? I'm gonna say.
look, it was the. I think it was the bunnies, but I must admit, I don't know if it was like a genuine. I was confident. I was very confident. I think I may have outwardly tipped the bunnies, and I did think we'd be pretty close and improve on last year, which was a prelim as it was already. But my thinking was Penrith.
Mm.
What about you? How did you see it unfolding?
Yeah, I thought I kind of was a bit of a fence setter. I just. I think I tipped a Penrith Roosters grand final, but I think now that we've played a little bit more, I think I'm going to have to change it to the Bunnies, just purely because I don't know if you've listened to last week's episode, but I was talking to Rutkin about it, and I think all these years, as good as the Bunnies have been, I've always kind of thought there was another team that was just a little bit better than them, whether it was the Roosters, Storm, Penrith recently. But now it just looks like they're by far and away, like, kind of clearer than everyone else, even those other teams mentioned. I think they've just, I don't know, it's probably like a continuity thing as well, because the other teams have changed like quite a bit from when they were like more dominant, even Penrith from last year. But the Bunnies have managed to really keep that continuity. And I think that's a big reason why like they are flying at the moment, because they've had essentially the same squad for like 3-4 years now, would you say? Is that fair?
Well, Reynolds has got. We've changed our halfback, which was a pretty major change, which I think maybe contributed to the slow start last year.
But like you've still got like, you know, Latrell, Cook, Walker, Murray.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was Well, like I said, we literally signed nobody for this year. The guys we lost in our top 30 were replaced by guys that were development players already. So I think continuity there is a big one. Another year for Lockie, another year for JD. I will just say this. I refuse to call ourselves premiership favourites because I am so scared of jinxing anything. Plus, it's just way too early. But I think I will say that as it stands right now at this stage, I think this is the best we've played in many years. And I think the reason for that is, number one, I think we're a more well-rounded team. Obviously, a lot's been made of our left edge over the years, but the right edge at the moment, I think has really come a long way. The development of guys like Campbell Graham, Keon still to come back, Lockie, you know, growing into his own a bit more, that combination with Walker sweeping both sides too, and Trell. But mainly for me, the big thing is I feel like we have a little bit more of a tougher underbelly, and I think our defense is a lot better. I think we're showing a lot more resilience defensively. You know, you look at that Melbourne game, they had a lot of sets on our line in the first half, and we turned them away for a good few minutes, and set after set there continuously, and then went up the other end and scored. I think it was Jacob Host try after that. You know, they scored off a kick, which was, you know, obviously you got to defend kicks, but you know, wasn't really a lot doing. And then also, you know, the dummy half try was a bit of a lapse at the end, but I just think defensively we're by far and away better than we were. And even just mentally, like that Penrith game a couple of weeks ago, we were down by 8 with about 6 minutes to go. And the fact that we were able to stay in the contest with a team who, you know, probably have a mental advantage over us, considering they've ended our season for 4 years in a row, to go up the other end and win that, I think it just shows a little bit of development mentally and just a bit more toughness. And I think our defense at the moment is better than I've seen it in many years. And as we know, the best defensive teams win the comp, which is also why I'm not writing off Penrith yet, although their attack's been clunky, because they're still number one and the Bunnies are number two. I think they're conceding about 13 points something per game as the best, and the Bunnies are around 14, tick under 15, I want to say, points per game. So for me, the best two defensive teams, Bunnies and Penrith, that's the key stat that you look at. And it's for that same reason. It's why I think we've improved, and it's why I still think Penrith, I probably still have them as my premiership favourites, to be honest, just because you know what they're going to do when they know how to win in big games, and they're still just so tough to break down defensively.
Wow. I can't believe you don't back your boys.
I told you. I'm not saying it. I am not saying it. I want to fly under the radar and not jinx anything.
But I
might be thinking it. I'm never going to... I can't say it. I'm going to jinx it. I might be thinking it.
All right. So that's the good teams we just spoke about. Now, let's talk about the Spinners. Now, I believe...
I have a story with this one.
Okay. So I believe we all tipped the Dolphins. No, we didn't tip the Dolphins.
I had the Dragons.
Yeah, I think we all tipped the Dragons.
Not only that, Declan, I had a little feeling in February, maybe late January, that it was going to be the Dragons. And I got on them, put a bit of cash on them to win the spoon, and they were paying $12. And I thought, wow, that's great value. My tip for the spoon of paying $12. But there was about five or six teams ahead of them. I thought, yeah, I'm getting on that. Then it got to Anzac Day. I was out with a few mates, and we were going to the Roosters Dragons game. I was going there to just boo the shit out of the Roosters for 80 minutes, which is one of my favorite pastimes. Had a few beers, and I thought, the Tigers were winless. The Dragons had a couple of wins. They didn't look too bad. The talk around Griffin hadn't really kicked off, and I thought, I just don't think they're going to get this done. And I cashed out for the same amount that I put my bet on for. So I cut my losses. Since then, I think they've drifted back into wooden spoon favoritism. They are now, once again, my pick for the spoon. And I may have just cost myself quite a hefty payday, because I believe it will be the Dragons still. Despite me wavering a few weeks ago, I think I had it right back in February. And I'm sticking with the Dragons.
Well, this is the catch 22, isn't it? Because like a team like the Dragons, like on paper, like they wouldn't really get anywhere near the spoon, would they? Because like they do have a reasonably good team, yep, there. But I think it's just like if they sack Griffin and the wheels just fall off, then you could definitely see like a situation where like they all kind of don't want to be there. Which and like even the bad teams this year, it seems like they can play well. So it's a very close competition. So I feel that like if like a team like the Dragons, which is just kind of like lose it mentally, that they could fall behind, because you know the Tigers had such a bad start to the season, but now they're on the same points as the Dragons. So it just shows you how quickly it can turn around. I think that I thought like 2 weeks ago I would be like, nah, the Tigers, like, you know, I think we've got...
Well, me too. That's why I cashed out. Yeah. I don't know anymore, because the ladder's so congested. Two wins and all of a sudden you're on equal points with them.
Yeah. And I just think that, like, I've heard a lot of rumors around the place that although we went through like a really bad losing streak, like the vibe around the team was like quite positive, because like all
you
the
could
games
see were... that too. I think you could see that.
Yeah. Like we played quite well. We just couldn't really score points. And I think that was the problem. But now I think we've really found something defensively, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, kept Penrith to a low score, you know, like, beat the Dragons in a close one. So I think that if we kind of play like that a little bit for, like, the majority of the season, I think we can, like, beat a few more teams than the Dragons could potentially.
Well, by stripping things back and just focusing on the bare bones of what wins footy games, and that is completing high and defending well, which is what you did against Penrith, and I think pretty much what you did against the Dragons too, that can win you a lot of games. It can win you enough games to avoid the spoon. Yeah. And I think you're doing those basics better than the Dragons are at the moment, despite the fact that, yeah, probably on paper that Dragons squad shouldn't be winning the spoon, but it looks to be snowballing a little bit for them over there. So I'm going to stick with the Dragons.
Yeah, I think I might stick with the Dragons as well. Oh my God. I still have like flashbacks to that Ben Hunt kick. Just like, like if I watch it again, it might turn out differently. But
I was watching it live, and literally the entire time in the moment, I was just thinking of what you were doing. I was like, oh no. It worked out. You got the win.
Yeah. And yeah, thanks to the dream. Like, oh, thank God.
In the dream.
Yeah.
What player he is.
He's such a great player. But all right, shall we do a little bit of origin talk before we do play other random tips?
Yeah, we're getting close now. I think we're recording this on a Tuesday night, and so not this Sunday, but the one after is when the New South Wales team gets announced. Queensland, I think maybe the day after. But yeah, like a week and a half now until the teams are picked.
Yeah, it's I'm getting a little bit, I'm not very confident just from all the things I'm hearing from like the New South Wales Blues camp. Like apparently like Luai is most likely to get picked.
That doesn't surprise me.
The combination was Cleary, but I think this just kind of plays into to New South Wales' biggest problem is that they've always started slow and then they lose game one, win game two like convincingly, but they just can't get it done game three because it's been played at Suncorp the last few years, and I'm really worried that they're going to follow this trend again.
Well, I suppose you touched on it. We've sort of mentioned it on the podcast before. Despite a bit of a disappointing game from the Sharks this week, I'm still very firmly in the camp that I think Hines should be the six over Luai.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's just playing so well, and he's a big body. He just looks like he'd be so good for the Origin Arena. He's got that utility value as well. And it's not that... I think it's just like Luai, he's not had a great season, if that makes sense. I know that, you know, Penrith are still doing quite well in the ladder. Well, you know, like in that congested ladder. But like when he played against the Tigers, he just looked awful. And I don't know. I just feel that like when it's good for New South Wales, he's the perfect kind of player because he does ride that momentum really, really well. But when it's a grind up in Suncorp and there's not much happening, I probably just back Hines more in the close games to come up with something. And I think that's where the difference has been, like how Queensland have played under pressure as opposed to how New South Wales have played under pressure. And then like there's just so much pressure on Nathan Cleary's kicking game when Luai is there. Hines as well, that you have that extra kind of like guy who can kick. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree. I just think Hines, I think he's quite suited to Origin in the sense he's quite robust. I don't believe that you need to rely on club combinations, particularly when those like Luai is a 5'8 predominantly on the left. And attacking wise, I believe Penrith's left edge statistically at the moment in terms of points scored is something like the second worst in the competition at the moment. It's quite clunky. So I don't necessarily think just because they have a combination it's the right way to go. I think you've got to pick on form. And although not a great week for Hines this week, he's the reigning Dally M medalist, and I think he on form he's killing it. Well, on form, you know, Cody Walker. I know his cards have been marked. I still go with Hines just because he's a bigger body and I think he deserves his opportunity. But the fact that you said he has utility value, maybe that then lends itself into Fittler going, oh well, I'll pick him as my 14 because you know Whiten has retired from rep footy. They might go back to Cook playing for 80 minutes or Appy, either one. I'd say probably Cook in the box seat at the moment. It's going to be interesting to see the way they go because there is that obvious temptation if they don't go with Luai. Nico at six, they'll be like, oh, we'll just put him at 14, which I don't love. But yeah, I could see him being picked in that capacity.
Yeah. The only thing I don't really like about that is that, you know, I think Paul Gallen said a few times that he doesn't love only having one specialist hooker in the team. Like, I feel like in Origin, you know, you got Harry Grant, Ben Hunt, that works really well in terms of creativity because it's just a forward slog a lot of the time in Origin. I think just having that second hooker just does wonders for you. So I would be going Hines at six and then Appy at 14, just purely because... Like he just brings so much, and he's actually been playing really well for the Tigers the last 4 weeks. And I think he's actually not necessarily evolved his game, but he's just had to do a lot more for the Tigers as opposed to at Penrith, where he could just kind of pass like 10 like 9 times and then run on the 10th. Like it was more of a luxury. But with the Tigers, he's really had to adopt more of a leadership in that attack, like facilitate for others. And I think that I think he's in good enough form to justify being picked for New South Wales.
Yep, I think that's pretty fair. What about, you talk about form, Tommy Turbo? Obviously not in the best of form and physically, certainly not where he has been. Given who he is, given what he's done in the past, do you pick him or do you think you just can't take the chance?
I just don't think you could take the chance. If he was just playing normal footy, I think I would take the chance. But it's just, if you just look at his body language and you can tell that he's not 100% confident. And there must be another injury that we're not really aware of that's kind of keeping him back. And Campbell Graham, he's probably just playing too well to really justify, you know, not playing him. Like, obviously, Turbo's the better player, and he's just proven that in Origin. But you've just got to, you know, I think, play safe, don't you? But I'd be interested, what do you reckon that, like, the chances of Freddie back in Turbo are?
I think they'll have a conversation. I could see Turbo back in it, because Campbell Graham can also play on the wing. You know, you could go Toto and Graham on the wing there. He played on the wing for Australia. Personally, with Fox back this week, I'd go Graham at right centre, Ado Carr and Toto in the wings. And I just don't think Turbo looks ready for it at the moment. But, you know, given he's, you know, you'd have a relationship with Freddie, I think they'd have a pretty open and honest chat about it. But, you know, if it's one of those things where if Turbo says he's ready to go and he, you know, he has that conversation with Freddie, then I think he probably will pick him. But, yeah, I if I was picking the team, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. All right, here's one for you. So all this talk about the New South Wales, if you're Billy Slater, what are you doing with the fullback position?
I think I have to go with Walsh. I'm a big believer in picking on form. And, you know, Ponga, not only is he hasn't played a lot of footy this year, the footy he has played has not been at fullback, and it's also not been fantastic. You know, his game against Parramatta was, you know, defensively pretty ordinary at six. I just think you've got to go with form and momentum, and I think I'd be giving Reece Walsh his debut at the moment, the way he's playing. You know, give him a chance. He may not be up for it. Like, obviously, Ponga's proven there. That's the temptation. And he's killed it at Origin level before. And Walsh, a little bit of an unknown. You know, he hasn't necessarily, you know, there is an argument to be made that in sort of big games against top opposition, you know, like the Bunnies a couple of weeks ago, he doesn't really stamp himself on the game. You know, he didn't have a big effect in that one. So there is a risk there. But, you know, I'm a big believer in backing form and momentum. So I'd probably go Walsh.
I feel like with Ponga as well, that he must, his confidence must be shot, because he plays like two games, gets knocked out for like more than a month, comes back, and then, you know, the Eels just put, you know, an absolute like clinic on them. So his confidence can't be that.
That's his only 80-minute game. That Eels game is his only 80-minute game since he's been back from concussion.
Yeah. And like, even if like the Knights weren't traveling well, but he was playing consistent footy, like, you'd probably still pick him. And then just trust, because he's proven, as you said, that he can turn it around. But like, he just doesn't look like he's ready at the moment. So it's going to be going to be a really interesting one. That I feel like people aren't really talking about it as much as the New South Wales selection.
Probably because we're down here, I guess. It sort of dominates the media cycle. I personally think that Slater will pick Ponga, because I think Queensland, they won the series last year, and they're obviously built on that sort of pick and stick mentality. So I could see them going Ponga, but if it was me, I think I'd go Walsh.
Is there any other like selection talking points that you mentioned? The Queensland forward pack, they've got some depth. Finally.
They're just stacked. Yeah, they're stacked. And, you know, where does someone like a Corey Horsburgh fit in? You know, because you've got, you know, starting, you might have Collins and Tino. You got Carrigan at 13. And you got Cotter and Papali'i and Welsh and Horsburgh and Arrow, all these other middles to fit in. A lot of them are going to have to miss out. And then on the edges, you know, David Fifita's killing it. Nanai is the incumbent. I think he's suspended now and on form. I don't think he gets his spot back, to be honest.
Do you go with Fifita on the bench, or do you still start with Kurt Capewell, who hasn't been brilliant, but he's been solid? Bring Fifita off the bench. I think, look, not necessarily a lot to touch on, but I just think a lot of options, and it'll be interesting to see the way they go with it. And because either way, there's going to be some worthy guys that are going to be missing out, and you may have a situation where a couple of Queensland stalwarts in Papali'i and Welch maybe don't, you know, maybe their time's up. It's going to be interesting to see those two. I think which one of them will it be, both, will it be neither, to get back in there. I think it's just the makeup of their forward pack, I think, is going to be quite interesting to see.
Isn't that the famous, you know, legendary Queensland pick and stick that we've been forced to endure for the last millennia? But they won the series, so like, loyalty. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting.
It will be very interesting. But then again, Welch, he was out last year with the Achilles. I don't think he is the incumbent. So maybe he is the one to make way. Very interesting. As you know, I'm not one of those... I'm kind of one of those Origin fans that I watch it for the spectacle, but my emotional investment is only with South. So it's kind of like, yeah, I am a New South Welshman, but I'm not super like into the rivalry. I'm just very keen for the series as a footy fan because I think it's going to be, you know, barring no Bunnies players getting injured, that's the only thing I want out of it. But I think it's going to be a really evenly contested series and one that's going to be very interesting for Brad Fittler too. Like if he loses this one, I think, you know, his future is well and truly up in the air. But if he wins, I think apparently it's been reported that it triggers a contract extension for the following series. So yeah, there's a lot of storylines and narratives in and around this series. It's going to be quite interesting to see and probably more unknowns in the teams for both sides that we've seen in a little while.
All right, moving on. So I think it's that time again for player of the round. And you know what? I'm just going to go for it. I don't care if anyone calls me a stan or just, you know, delusional. But my player of the round for the second week in a row is Jareem the Dream Bulla. This guy is just honestly just such a fresh breath of fresh air that we needed for this season. But he just played so well. Like those two tries on Ravalara where he's like he stopped him pretty much like by himself. I know he got help for the first one, but honestly, like that is not easy to do. And then he pretty much won us the game with that tackle at the end. And then like he just had such a solid game. He's so safe under the high ball, set up a try for Nofaluma, ran the ball well. Only his third game. Like I think the sky's the limit for this guy.
Yeah, look, mate, I'll let you have it. I will let you have it. I think it's good. I think it's good that, you know, there's a lot made of the Tigers, you know, kind of the, I guess the running joke in and around, running joke in and around the players that they've lost or let go over the years. And I think having someone like Bulla come through when you really needed it, I think that's, yeah, more than fair. I will allow the 2 weeks in a row. And, I mean, I think I said it to you in the chat. The thing I like the most about him, it's not like sort of an individual brilliance kind of thing. It's just his effort plays. And I think that last play at the end of the game on Ravalawa summed it up. And then, you know, he backed that up from the week before where he made that try saver on Cleary. I like guys that play with effort. And he's certainly one of those. So he's doing very, very well indeed.
Yeah. Who's your player of the round?
Well, mate, if you picked a Tiger, considering that we're 5 in a row, you've called us your premiership favourites, you picked a Tiger 2 weeks in a row, I think you'll have to indulge me here for a moment. Because my player of the round is Cody Walker. I thought he was brilliant. I think his last month of footy, I think he started the season slow, Cody. Probably his first, I want to say 3 weeks. Probably not where it needed to be, but I think from round 4 onwards, that Manly game, he's just been brilliant. You know, looking at his stats from the game, obviously he had a couple of try assists, for a couple of line break assists. He was really running amok along the left edge there. We've seen what he can do on the right. He's come back to his favorite left this week and really adapted well. I think last time we played Melbourne only about 5 weeks earlier, what they were doing, particularly on the left, was really rushing on their edges and just jamming in on the left. And it was sort of frustrating Cody a little bit. And I think the way he adapted to that and to what the defense was doing, a couple of tries from kicks in behind, was really, really smart footy. And then after that, he sort of had him in two minds and was able to shell them on the left edge again. To strip them for numbers and get AJ over for his second try. Scored one for himself. Just literally the combination with him and Trell out of dummy half there where he just picked it up on the last and just dinked it on his left. Cody, my favorite thing about Cody is just he knows where the ball is. Like sometimes you just watch, particularly, you know, I'm pretty much at every game in Sydney anyway. You watch him live, you can really gain a view of it. Whenever there's a play going on the other side of the field, even if he's nowhere near the ball, sometimes he just makes a beeline and just heads towards the middle and just start running. Just because I think he has this knack of knowing where the ball's going to be or where it should be. And I think that was another example where he just made a beeline in for the post. It looked like he didn't even talk to Trell. Just got that connection there. Scored a try for himself. I just think he's been brilliant. One of the best halves in the game to watch for me. Obviously, I'm biased. But, yeah, Cody Walker for me, I thought he was great.
I suppose I'll have to allow it, considering I like stand him for a dream builder. All right, shall we move on to tips?
Let's do it.
All right. So, first game of the round. Let me just get up the draw. This is a good one. The at Amy Park, the Melbourne Storm beat the Brisbane Broncos. Who have you got for this one?
This is a tough one. I was going to say I'm thinking the upset because I'm leaning towards Melbourne at home, but looking at the odds here, it looks like Melbourne are $1.71 favorites, which I find really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm predicting a bounce back from
But then Brisbane.
I'm going to go Melbourne at home. I think they're just due for a bounce back. Brisbane, I haven't been convinced how they've gone against sides like Melbourne, who can really grind them out of games. Obviously, they struggle a lot against us. Canberra dragged them into a dogfight and beat them as well. Melbourne with plenty to prove. I'm going to go Melbourne in what I thought would be an upset, but evidently not. But I'm going to go the Storm.
I'm going to go the Broncos. I think the Storm have had the wood over the Broncos, especially at Suncorp, for so, so long. So I reckon the Broncos will be up for this game. Lots of confidence. You know, I know they got smashed against the Bunnies, but no Payne Haas, no Ezra Mann. Come back against Manly, just look like everything's back on track. So I'm going to go the Broncos for that one.
Yep, very fair.
All right, Bulldogs. Bulldogs, Warriors.
Oh, geez, this is another tough one. This is not a good round for tipping.
And the Warriors did win at home at Mount Smart, but it was a very close game. Could have went.
They did. They did. Interesting. Ronald Volkman's playing six this week too. Do you know what? Can you go first? I need some guidance here. I don't know what I'm doing.
Look, I think that I'm going to go the Warriors. I know they've lost the last few games, but they have been really close against like pretty good opposition. I think they're due for a bounce back. They've even though they lost to Penrith, they did look quite good. I thought like resilient. The game did get away from them, but I think there's probably just a little bit more they have at the moment. I know that Ado Carr is coming back for the Bulldogs, which is obviously a big end. But yeah, I think just based on like power rankings, I'm gonna back the Warriors here.
I agree with everything you said, but for some reason, I just have this feeling that there's going to be an upset and the Dogs are going to lift here. Oh no, I can't. I'm going to go the Warriors. I think they've just been. I was really impressed with them against Penrith. I hope their comments from the one CEO doesn't derail their attitude. That was very, very interesting. I don't know if you saw that, but
I definitely saw that.
Yes, yeah. Like, look, that could have an unsettling effect. I don't know, but no, yeah. I'm going to go the Warriors too. I'm going to play it safe here.
Yeah, I think that like I always like as always like fans. That's just naturally how you think in the moment. But I feel like just like having that kind of attitude is so, you know, self defeating, isn't it? Because what if you're right? Yeah. Like, how is that going to help? But obviously, you just said it in the heat of the moment. But
he did. The problem is you don't even want that mentality creeping into the side. Like, because I feel like Andrew Webster in his post match and just in the way that they're playing, the toughness they're showing, has been really good in terms of keeping them, you know, no matter what goes wrong, they stay in games, they show some resilience. And, you know, you just don't want that attitude creeping in of, you know, it's everyone's against us and getting that sort of, like you said, defeatist mentality. But I don't think it will. I think Andrew Webster's doing a great job. So I will go the Warriors.
All right. The next game, that's not the next game. Penrith Panthers v Sydney Roosters. I'm going to go Penrith with this one. I think the Roosters, I just we've been kind of waiting for them to click so far, but I don't think it's going to be against the defending premiers.
This is a tough week to tip. I alluded to the fact that I could really see a Roosters upset here. I wasn't too impressed with Penrith against the Warriors last week, and I could see a real bounce back coming here for the Roosters, but it's Penrith in Penrith. You just can't tip against them, despite Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost, but you can't tip against Penrith and Penrith no matter how their form's going. And like I say, they're still the best defensive team in the comp, so I will go the Panthers too.
Yeah. All right. Now, the next game, the actual next game, the
Joe Rizzi
Cup. Are you ready? Oh, my God. We're $5.50 episode. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I assume we're both going to take the Bunnies for this one.
I'm going to tip the Bunnies. Obviously, the Joel Reddy Cup is the most prestigious piece of silverware in the game. Obviously, leg number one. I think we play each other again later in the year in Tamworth of all places. But yes, I am quite confident here, provided that we don't show any complacency. You know, because you guys did beat us in this corresponding game last year. But I think that I think we'll get the job done here. Are you going?
I'm not going. It's a Bunnies home game, I feel.
Yeah. It's at Acor. I'll be there. Apparently, there's a bit of rain forecast. So, like, you don't, you guys are wet weather specialists now for that Penrith game. So, you never know.
That would be good. I actually reckon that you guys should just rest the trail because, as we all know, he does get a little bit cranky when he plays the Tigers. Like, Harry Grant last week, you saw a little bit of the red mess, so
he's all right.
I feel like, you know, you don't want to get suspended for, you know, six games, which, you know, I feel like is kind of never like that far away from the picture with the trail. So just, I reckon, just rest him.
He's all right, mate. He's ready to go. There'll be no complacency. There'll be no resting. It's going to be a Bunnies win here.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Next game: North Queensland v the Dragons. Just as the Cowboys have found a little bit of form, I feel sorry for Dragons fans, but I think I'm going to go the Cowboys here.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Cowboys as well. Pretty confident in this one. My question to you before we move on to the next game really quick, that game against the Roosters, Magic Round, do you think that was the Cowboys turning the corner, or do you think maybe a bit of a flash in the pan? What's your read on the Cowboys after that game?
Ooh, I feel it. What really won it for the Cowboys were those two really quick tries off of kicks. And like, although they defended, like, their lives depended on it, it'll be really interesting to see, like, if they come up against, like, a really quality offensive team at the moment, because they managed to win on defense. Kind of similar to the Tigers, like, you won't be able to win just purely on your defense every week. So, yeah. Like, until they, like, kind of beat one of those, like, informed teams, I think I'm still going to be a little bit hesitant of them.
Me too, but still very confident that they'll get the job done here at home over the Dragons. Still no Zach Lomax too, which is quite interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if he's gotten that feedback yet. If Griffin's still waiting.
Who knows?
Imagine if, like, you messed up at work and then, you know, like, and then it was like, oh, like, how can I improve? I'm not telling you. It's a secret.
I almost prefer it. Ignorance is bliss. Just tell me I'm going great.
But, like, I don't know if you got, like, but if you knew you were doing bad, like, you got, like, you know, you're, like, taking off, like, a case or something, you're like, yeah. Oh, I have some feedback. Like, no.
No, yeah, it's interesting.
Players are
surely
so
he's got to find out. He's got to find out.
Yeah, players are so entitled, as Paul Kent says, asking for feedback.
Oh, my God. Kenty's been on a fucking tear lately. He's been doing. I've had to tune out of 360 the last couple of days because of Kent's recent form.
Yeah, I feel like he's just given up on Griffin though. Like, he's even he can like identify that's a lost cause, so it's not even worth going in for.
I couldn't tell you. I haven't watched it this week, but he's Bloody Paul Kent.
Interesting. But speaking of Paul Kent, his favorite team, the Canberra Raiders, go up against the Parramatta Eels. I'm going to tip the Raiders here. Like, obviously, no Mitch Moses. Yeah, no Mitch Moses, concussion protocol. So he's out. Jacob Arthur's in. So it's probably not that much of an upset, but I think that at home, they're going to be hard to beat. And
actually, $1.60 favorites here, the Raiders.
Yeah, so maybe a bit of value for the Eels. But I just feel that against the Titans, I feel like the Eels of last year probably would have won that game. And I think it shows, like, all the kind of players that they're missing that they lost last year. So I think the Raiders are going to be too good in this one.
I'm going to go the Eels. No Moses, obviously a big blow, but I think it's a good opportunity for Dylan Brown to really stamp himself on the game. I know Canberra four in a row. They're at home. Parramatta in great form. Moses missing, like I said. But yeah, I think the Eels are due for a bit of a bounce back. I think they're still a very dangerous side. So I'm going to go Parramatta in what is technically an upset at 235. A bit of value there.
An interesting one. All right, Knights v Titans. I thought the Titans would be, you know, more like, you know, shorter price favorites, but there's only 185 to 195. But I reckon the Gold Coast Titans are gonna do them here.
I'm not confident either way, to be honest. It's a Sunday arvo at Newcastle. You know, the Bali staff off a bye, the bounce back. Do you know what? Do I dare to tip the? I'm gonna go the Knights. Gonna go the Knights. I don't know why. I just have a feeling at home, off the bye, a bit of a bounce back. Titans, we know that they're not necessarily the most consistent team going around. I'm going to go Newcastle, I think.
You're going off vibe a lot this podcast.
I am. And I don't know why. And this could very well result in me getting about 1 out of 8. But I've got to back the vibe.
All right. So last game of the round, Manly Seagulls v Cronulla Sharks.
Yeah, I think this is a Sharks win. I think they win pretty comfortably too. I think they'll be really disappointed off the back of last week. And yeah, I'm pretty concerned with Manly. They've been really struggling. They were really, really poor against the Broncos. And I see the Sharkies being really up for this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Sharks as well. So I think that's it for this week of the Tragics. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Hopefully this week of footy is just as good as last week, for me especially.
Right. Yes, thank you all for listening. Declan, I wish you the very best of luck. Bunnies Tigers, leg one of the Joel Reddy Cup. It does not get any bigger than this. Latrell Mitchell versus your boy Dream, the Dream Buller. It's going to be a mouth-watering contest.
Yep, and if we do actually manage to win, you can't duck me like you did last year.
I didn't duck you. I had legitimate reasons. I can't remember what they were, but no, I assure you, I will face the music if we lose. But it's a big if, because the boys are humming. We're in great form.
Yep. Well, I will be praying to the rain gods to absolutely chuck it down. So, you know,
Declan's going
to
be on his balcony doing a rain dance on Saturday morning.
Yep. You know it. Absolutely. All right.
I'd love to see it. Yo, the bunnies.
Go dream the dream.